We are continuing on the third line of page 56 on the top numbers, which would be 96 or 95, and the bottom numbers. We are talking about the reason why it says, quoting a statement in the Zohar, that the Torah and Hashem are all one, and explaining how it is that this statement is true, and it's also explaining how the mitzvahs are the rutzin of Hashem, as it says that the 248 positive commandments are the 248 limbs of the king, and when a person does them, they become nullified to Hashem, as a person's own foot or hand is nullified when they decide that they're going to move it. So a person then becomes like an extension of Hashem's will, you might say. So he says, the kein halavush hachitzayin shel nefesh elokei sheba'adam. So too it is with the external garment of the godly soul, when a person fulfills some mitzvah, the outer garment being a garment of action. That when the person's body part is engaged in doing the mitzvahs, he uses the word mislabish. It encloses itself. Because what happens to your clothes when you put them on?
They take on the form of the person.
That's right.
They
become you.
Yeah.
Okay? Such that even if I were to grab you by your sleeve without grabbing onto you, you could say, please let go of me.
Me, correct.
Okay? And I say, I'm not grabbing you, I'm grabbing your shirt. My shirt, by the way. Okay? I'm grabbing your shirt. Okay? But no, because you're in them, they become nullified to you. They become you. Okay? We talked about this way back in chapter 4, that the whole purpose of wearing clothing is to make yourself presentable. And so the garments of the soul are there also to make your soul relatable or presentable to the physical world. So when a person's now enclosing their action in the actual doing of the mitzvah, v'nasik gam kein kegufla neshama l'ratzin ha'elyon. So then what happens now is, since it is that he's doing a mitzvah, and the mitzvah is the ratzin of Hashem, and what has happened is the Ratzon of Hashem is now enclosed in his action. So then the action is the body part which he's using that action for has now totally lost its existence as its own thing and has now become the will of Hashem. Not just that it's just conveying the will of Hashem. Just as it is that when you put your shirt on and I grab it, you can say, get off of me, let go of me. So too also, that it becomes you. So too also, when we do a mitzvah, we become the will of Hashem. That's why it says in Shulchan Aruch that if you see somebody doing, in the presence of somebody doing a mitzvah, you have to stand up. You have to give an honor and respect, a reverence to a mitzvah doer. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that body part now becomes totally, completely nullified, losing its own individuality. We said before that there's different levels of nullity. It's not that it disappears. Okay, you put tefillin on, your hand doesn't disappear,
right?
Because it became dissolved into the will of Hashem. No, your hand is still there. Your arm is still there. But the existence that is just an arm of yourself is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is an arm which is wearing tefillin. That's its existence now. And so too it is also with the limbs of the person who's fulfilling the mitzvahs. Shekayach ubechinas hamaiser shel nefesh alakis malubish behem b'shas maiser v'kiyam mitzvos, that the godly soul, the garment of action, is enclosed in them when he's doing the mitzvos. V'heim nasu markava mamash l'rotzen ha'elyon, and they become the will of Hashem. K'gayin hayad ha'malachas tzedakah l'aniyim or la'isa mitzvah acheres. Like, for example, the hand which distributes charity or does some other mitzvah, v'reglayim ha'malechas l'dvar mitzvah, the feet that are going to do a mitzvah, v'kein ha'peh v'lashin shemidabrim divrei Torah, or the mouth which is speaking words of Torah, v'hamayach ha'maharher b'divrei Torah, v'yir shemayim v'gedolos Hashem baruch hu, and the brain which is contemplating the words of Torah and fear of heaven and the greatness of Hashem. So at that time that the person is doing any of those things, so that specific part that he's using for doing that thing loses its individuality and is incorporated in godliness. Mm. You have a question, Akiva?
Well, the body becomes the garment.
Yeah, that's the vehicle for doing it. How many mitzvahs could you do without your body?
None. But in essence, the commandment itself becomes the is the body, and our body becomes the garment.
Correct.
Okay. Fine.
Our body becomes a garment for the conveyance of the will of Hashem.
Correct. Okay. Got it.
Okay. And it loses its individuality as your specific body part.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
V'zeu sha'amru ha'rizal ha'avas hein hein amarkava. This is what it says, is a famous saying taken from the Gemara, that the patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, are referred to as the chariot. Okay, that's the best way we can get to translate Markava. It's just one of those biblical words, and we don't have chariots now. And had Avraham Yitzhak
and alien spaceships, right?
No. Had Avraham Yitzhak and Yaakov been around now, would be referring to them as the Cadillacs.
Yes, yes.
God's God's Eldorados.
Yes, indeed.
You know, instead of chariots per se.
Yes.
You know, or maybe God is a
God's Rolls Royce.
God's an efficient, but God's Prius. I mean, you know, whatever.
God the Bentley, yes. Yeah. God's Alexis. Hmm. That'd be more like God's Volkswagen.
Yeah, I'm thinking
or God's scooter.
Skateboard.
God's one-wheeled unicycle with a flat tire.
The thing, yes. Okay. Listen, at least you got God's in front of you. It's already a Madrega. So anyway, what's the deal of a Markava? See, especially this expression,
you know,
the word Markava.
The cap on the inner tube.
Right, okay. let's not digress any further, please. I don't want to see where this is going. I don't want to go down that road any further.
Yeah, let's not go there.
Okay, they call their Markava. Now, where does your car go?
Wherever you want it to go.
Wherever the will.
Right. They are going to, sometime in the near future, come up with a function in a car where you're going to say, okay, I'm going to make a left turn over here, and it's going to say,
no, thank you.
I don't think so.
No, thank you.
No, you don't want to do that.
Big Brother says go right.
Yeah. I don't know about Big Brother per se, but you know, say something to the effect of, there's an accident down there, and it's much quicker if you go this way.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Your GPS will be in real time, and it'll say, no, you want to go left? Go straight.
Yes.
Take the next left. So, wherever your car wants to go. You know, and they have been working on that. There is a thing in San Diego where they put things in embed things into the
drive-by-wire,
the highways.
Yeah.
Yes, and you can only go as fast as the thing will allow you to go. Wow. You could be flooring it. You're going to speed limit. That's it.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, but you'll never bump into anything.
I'm great.
Okay, so what does it mean that they were a Markava? Shekol Avreihem Kulam Hayu Kedushim Uvdalim Me'inyani Olam Hazeh. Every body part, every function, every thought was removed from the world. Mm-hmm. They had nothing to do with their own personal agenda. Yeah. Their personal agenda was Hashem. In other words, they willingly gave up their freedom of choice. That's why when we say the God of, and we talk about Shemana Esrei, there's some big guns in Tanakh. We could keep on going from there.
Right.
You could go Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Yosef, Levi, you know, Moshe, Aaron, Yoshua, Shmuel, David, you know, Eliyahu, Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. These are all, you know, plus whoever else.
Yeah.
We could just keep on going.
Right.
Okay? But we don't, because these three individuals, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, were unique in that they were the only ones to achieve this level of Merkava. Whatever, Avraham, go sacrifice your son, I'll sacrifice my son, go to war against four kings, I'll go with four kings, get yourself thrown into a fire, I get myself thrown into the fire. Avraham was the most surprised of anybody that he walked out of that furnace.
Indeed.
He for sure expected, if God wants me to get killed now, okay, good, I'll get killed now. Hmm. Oh, I'm walking out and I'm not getting killed. Okay, God didn't want me to get killed.
Yeah.
Yitzhak, you want me to get put my stretch out my neck on an altar? Okay, I'll stretch out my neck on an altar. Yaakov, fight with my brother, a fight with my father-in-law, fight with my sons, you know, whatever it takes. Hmm. He'll do it. What happens with Moshe? For example, Moshe, it says Moshe's prophecy far outweighed any other prophet. Moshe's neshama was unique to the creation. Mm. The first time he gets sent on a mission, Hashem tells him, I want you to go to Parai. I want you to talk to Paro. I want you to ask the Paro to tell the people that the Jewish people have to leave now.
No.
And he's going to say,
No.
No. Okay. Well, back up even by the burning bush. He says, go tell Paro. What did he say? No, I'm not going to tell Paro.
No, thanks.
He spent a week by the burning bush.
Yeah.
Okay. Then he goes and he does the job. And God even told him beforehand. And you know what? Paro's going to tell you no. So what does he do? The first thing, Paro tells him no, he comes back complaining.
Yeah.
Really starts whinging over there at the beginning of Parshas Vayera. Mm. Okay? Really starts complaining. I didn't, you know, I told you at the end of Parshas
Shemot. You said he would say no, but I didn't think you really meant he would say no.
I'm not good at this job. I told you I wasn't good at this job. Now everybody's mad at me because they have to go get their own straw. And I'm resigning right now. I'm tendering my resignation right now.
Right.
And God basically told him, stop whinging.
Yeah.
You know, I told you this is what was going to happen. Okay? Which is a typical answer for Hashem, is not only shouldn't you stop now, but you should really increase what you were doing till now. That's a typical God answer.
Yes, exactly.
That's a typical Jew answer.
And by the way, will you hurry up?
Yes. Okay? And stop complaining. Stop this bellyaching stuff.
Mm.
Okay? Mm. And you get other times throughout Moshe's life, every time he's telling God no.
Mm.
Avraham. Go tell Paro. Today? Now? Right the second? No, you can wait
till
morning.
Although he made an art of it, and a lot of it worked out for the best. I'm going to destroy the people. No.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, what would have Avraham done?
He made an art out of it, you know?
What would Avraham have said? Well, Avraham, you see, this was dumb. He would have pleaded.
But
Avraham.
And he would have won.
Okay, good. But, Sodom and Gomorrah still got destroyed.
Exactly.
Okay, well, if he would have been there by the golden calf and he said, well, listen, you're going to kill all the righteous ones too.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, God was like, yeah, you know what? I'll kill them too. You know, so it wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, well.
Right. Misha said, no, you're not going to do that, God.
Yeah, he made an art of saying no.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And other Nevi'im, okay, there was nothing even able to talk about.
Yeah.
These were people as great as Shmuel and Eli and Yirmiyah and Yeshaya and Yechezkel and the Treyasar and the other people that are mentioned, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and all these people that had prophetic revelations.
Right.
They did it in their sleep or in some kind of a fit.
Right.
Okay, Daniel suddenly wakes up with his face down in the mud, realizing that he feels like his intestines just got pulled out by hot rakes.
Yeah, other than that, it's...
Okay, I really did not want to do that again.
Yeah.
Okay, don't talk to me anymore, God. Don't love me so much.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell over what I need to say. Just don't do that again. Yeah. Okay, these people in our generation would just be considered like, you know, they would be recognized as world leaders.
Right. Yeah.
Sure. Okay, we could not give enough superlatives if such a person was alive in our generation. Okay, but still, none yet, they didn't reach the level of Merkava.
Right.
because they still had their own things. Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov did not have anything of their own. Okay. Every minute of their lives was for the promulgation of monotheism. Finished. Full stop.
Okay, were there neshamas? Perhaps this is a foolish question. Was it because they were unique, or were their neshamas made that way to do this?
I would think.
Or is the answer is yes?
It was a setup.
Yeah, it had to be a setup.
They were picked specifically for that purpose.
Yeah.
They're called in the chapter two. They're called neshamas of Atzilus. I mean, you know, uh-huh. These are their souls were special. That's why, for example, they were born before you.
Indeed, yes.
Because if they would have been born after you, then
it wouldn't
have worked out.
Would not work out quite so well.
Right, yet. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That is interesting. It is a setup.
Yeah. So they specifically are referred to, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov are referred to as the Merkava, the chariot. Mm. They just did what Hashem wanted. Shekol Avraham Kulam Haya Kedushim Vdolim Yanyan Yom Lazah. They were totally, completely removed from worldly matters. V'lo Nasa Merkava Rak L'Ratzana Elyon Levad Kol Yameham. The only thing that they did was to convey the will of Hashem.
Hmm.
Avraham's whole reason for existence was that people should learn about monotheism. Hmm. That's all he did a whole day long, every single day. That's what it means in the verse that I ever quoted very often, for Avram Zakin Bab Yom, that Avram was old, coming with his days. What does it mean, coming with his days? That every single day he functioned at full speed, accomplishing 100% of what he was able to accomplish that day. Okay, Avram didn't have any bad days because it wasn't him. He resigned himself, whatever it is, God, you want me to do, I'm going to go do it. Ahamachshava v'hira b'divrei Torah shebamayach v'kayach adivar b'divrei Torah shebapeh. But let's talk about the other side over here just a bit. When a person's thinking words of Torah with their brains and speaking words of Torah with their mouths, Shehem Lavushi Apnimim Shel Nefesh Elokis, that those are the inner garments of the godly soul. V'kol Shekein HaNefesh Elokis Atzmai HaLubeshes Bahem. And so, how much more so, the godly soul itself, which is enclosed in the thought and the speech. Kulam Yuchadim Mamish B'Yuchud Gama B'Rasan HaElyon. All of them, meaning the thought, the soul, the thought, the speech, are united with Hashem with an absolute unity, a complete unity with this Hashem's divine will, v'loy markava levad, and not just a way of conveying it. In other words, what we get to do, we have an advantage over Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov.
We're not just a pipeline. We become part of it.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. Avraham, Yitzhak, it says Avraham fulfilled all the Torah before it was commanded to him.
Right.
That's the whole point of the Bris Milah Mimer.
Right.
That it says, how come Avraham waited till he was commanded? And we say, because it's incomparable, a person who does something because he was told to, the person who volunteers and does it on his own volition.
Right.
Because when a person does it, when he was commanded to, he now has the power of the commander behind him.
Right.
Okay, so now what happens is Avram, the only mitzvah he had that he was commanded was Milah.
Right.
That was the only one he could do that way. That was the only mitzvah that he did that had any permanent effect in the world.
Right.
Everything else that Avraham did was called reach, a smell.
Right. Yeah.
A smell has no substance.
That's the only one that conveyed holiness. Or affected holiness.
The others had no permanent effect.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
What do we mean by a smell, the effect of a smell? You can talk about this.
It's there and gone.
It never was there.
Yeah, okay.
There's nothing there. This is Alpi Halach, also, I don't remember mentioning this before.
Right.
I think before I start teaching the class, I have to go back and listen to all, 22 chapters of what I said till now, so I shouldn't have to repeat myself again and just say, just go listen back over there. But if you have, the Halacha states, Reach lav milsahi, smell is nothing. You have, there's a store in Chicago that I've heard about. Okay, it's called Romanian Butcher Shop. I've heard about this place. They're famous for...
Have you been there?
No.
I've been
there. They're famous for their garlic salami, which you can smell halfway down the block.
Correct.
Okay. So, you happen to go to this place. You're in Chicago. You heard about this wonderful salami that they have. I've never eaten it. And so I can't tell you. And you take it and put it in your cooler. Okay? You got the little ice chest over there with the little can cold over there. And then it just so happens you want to get something on the way also to eat. So what do? You stop in the Albertsons over there. They got a huge kosher section. And you pick up, you say, oh, look at this. They got the 5-pound blocks of cheese. Could you cut me off 2 pounds of cheese and put it in a piece of paper, wrap it up in the wax paper for me? Okay, and they do that. And what do with that?
You put it in the cooler.
Right. Okay? 6 hours later, you get home to Detroit.
Right.
And you open it up and you say, hey, I think like I'm going to have myself a cheese sandwich. And you take that piece of mozzarella out of the paper over there, and it stinks like garlic.
Right.
Can you eat it?
Yes.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, but it's...
Because there's no salami there.
It's not going to taste, but it's going to...
Oh, it tastes delicious. They call it garlic jack. That'll be wonderful.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't even have any taste. It'll just have the smell.
You're right.
Right.
So, because smell is nothing. Okay, right. If you want to look and say there's these microns that are flying around between things, but the microns are not recognized as having an existence.
Correct.
Okay, so when we say that that was the effect that Abraham's mitzvahs had on the world, like that of a smell. Mm-hmm. When he did any other mitzvah besides milah, it left no permanent effect.
Right.
In the world. Yeah, the story, I don't know one specifically, but the example which is given is in regard to Yaakov. That Yaakov, it says, put on tefillin. How did Yaakov put on tefillin? There's a whole maisa where Yaakov gets involved with animal husbandry. And he's told that he gets to have all the spotted, speckled, and patched sheep. Right. Okay, and what does he do? Is he takes these sticks
and
he peels them.
Yes, he carves.
And he sticks them into the watering troughs, and the sheep look at the watering troughs, they see stripes, and they conceive striped kids. Okay? That peeling of sticks accomplished what we accomplish when we put on tefillin. He was able to bring down the godliness into the world that we bring down when we put on tefillin by peeling those sticks. That was his intention. When he peeled them, he had 3 at the top and 7 at the bottom and a little dollet at the very bottom. Okay? That was the way he peeled the sticks. What did he do with the sticks when he was done with them?
Threw them in the fire.
Just threw them right out.
Yeah.
What do we do with our tefillin when we get done with them?
Very.
We wrap them up. We put them in a special bag. We have the bag in a plastic bag. Yeah. We lock them up.
Sure, of course.
Okay, and after 80 or 90 years or 100 years, whatever, we bury them in a cemetery.
Right.
Okay, because what Yaakov did had no permanent effect. While it was happening,
right.
Good. That piece of cheese right now smells like a salami.
Right.
But it's not. It doesn't leave any impression there. And I guarantee you also, if you left that piece of cheese away from the salami for a little bit, it would stop smelling like a salami.
Yeah.
The salami, on the other hand, if you left the salami out, would smell more like a salami.
Correct.
Right.
So the question is, why do we... It's an interesting thing. Why say a bracha over a smell?
Because you do benefit from it. It's an interesting question. You are benefit from it because... And that's another thing, is because smell... You're going to start poo-pooing Avraham's mitzvahs. Oh, it's just smell.
Yeah.
But what does it say about karbonis? It says, Reach
Nechayach LaHashem.
The pleasing smell. Yeah. Because I asked a neurologist this question.
Yes.
Why is it when you wave ammonia underneath somebody's nose who's fainted, they suddenly wake up? And he said, I don't know. I don't know the mechanism for it. But it works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you take some smelling salts, somebody fainted, you get that, and whoa, something just like triggers up there, and it gets it going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so because smell is the most ethereal of the senses. Because, okay, touch, you have to have something to, right there, concrete, that you can put your hand on in order to be able to feel it, to touch it.
Right.
Okay, taste. It has to go into your mouth.
Has to be in present.
And has to be felt along the course of your taste buds.
Right.
Sight, it has to be in front of you so that you, that the light waves, or particles, whatever you want to call them, right, bounce off the object and bounce off the back of your retina and get interpreted into your brain.
Right.
Hearing, you've got sound waves that are entering your ear. What's happening with smell? Microns. Okay, if you want to say just what, well, sound waves? Sound wave? What's a sound wave? I got news from you. What destroys things when you have a bomb? It's the sound.
Sound. That's
it's
correct.
The sound waves. They call it, that's what they call them, shock waves.
Yeah, pressure.
But all it's just sound.
Right.
That's causing the destruction.
Right.
But isn't it's, air moving too?
It's what's yeah. causing the air to move is the sound. Oh. It's moving at such great intensity.
Right.
Smell. Well, nothing. Okay, it's, if you sit there and sniff glue long enough, your brain is going to corrode, yes.
Yeah, but that's a different... You're actually taking in particulates. That's
probably.
Why. Yeah, you're yeah. taking... That's why. You're taking particulates. Not you. It's not...
It's not microns.
Not the odor.
Right.
Right. It's not the odor.
You're taking the actual glue.
Right.
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 Or the gasoline, or whatever it is.
Right,
that,
right,
you
right,
know.
Right, right. You're taking in particulates.
Right. Okay. So the point being, though, is that Avraham was only a Merkava. We say only. What, us?
Right.
We get to be conveyors of the will of Hashem. We get to be the, excuse me, we get to be the will of Hashem.
Wow.
Ki rotzen ha'elyon hu hu hadavar halacha atzmai. Shemaha her medir borbo. Because what is he thinking about? What is he talking about? He's talking about, say, for example, a halacha. What is the halacha? We said before the definition of Torah is the will and wisdom of Hashem. So what is he can what is he talking? What is he thinking? He's thinking and talking the will of Hashem.
Hmm.
Shekol halachas hein prati hamshachas pnimius rotzen elyon atzmai. Each halacha is a specific derivation from the inner aspect of Hashem's will itself. Meaning, you go through Shulchan Aruch, the base series of Shulchan Aruch is 10 huge volumes, I have it sitting on the shelf over there, okay, and each chapter has a bunch of little paragraphs, and each paragraph contains an idea or two. Every single detail mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch is the will of Hashem.
Hmm.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be in there.
Right.
Because that's what the Shulchan Aruch is conveying, what Hashem wants from us.
Right.
So now that the person is sitting and thinking about or talking about the halacha, what is coming out of their mouth? What is it that their brain is churning over?
The Ratzon of Hashem.
The Ratzon of Hashem, the will of Hashem. Shekach ala b'ritzoni yisbarach. That it, this is what Hashem decided. This is the way I want. Hashem wants it to be.
Hmm.
Shadavar zemutter, or kosher, or potter, or zakai, or lehepach. That this thing is permissible, or it's kosher, or it's exempt, or it's meritorious, or exactly the opposite. Why? Why are pigs not kosher?
Because they're just, that's just signs.
That's just, no,
end
you can listen to that.
Well, because Hashem said.
Hashem said.
End of story.
Hashem wanted pigs to be kosher. We'd be eating ham hocks. Not me, though. But, anyway, so the, and it's all just, it's all very arbitrary on Hashem's part. As far as we're concerned, even the things that we know why we're doing them.
Okay? It's still arbitrary
on Hashem's part, because Hashem could have created a whole world with a different system where murder and adultery and idolatry and theft would are perfectly fine. Absolutely nothing wrong with them, and you know, could have made them mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah to go murder people.
Yeah,
you know, Hashem could have made such a mitzvah.
He could have.
Okay, but in the world that we live in, he didn't. Why? Take it up with the boss.
Between me and the fence post sign, I'm grateful.
Yeah, it's okay. The king called Serufi Isis Tanakh, and so too it is with all the different combinations of the letters of the Bible. Hain hamshachas resign of a chasmasoi hum yuchedis be ainsoi borahu betachlis ha yichud. that the words that appear in the Bible, they are individual expressions of Hashem's will and wisdom, which are totally united with the infiniteness of Hashem in an ultimate way, in an ultimate unity. And indeed, each word in Tanakh contains a whole infinity. Every letter, you know, it says that Yisrael is an abbreviation for Yesh Shishim Riba Oisius Letera. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. That means that each letter contains within it Hashem's infiniteness. And this is talked about more in Shar Yichud V'Amuna, that, for example, you have the letter Lamed. Okay, now just looking at the letter Lamed, so the bottom part is sort of like a chaf, it curves around. The top part is kind of like a vav. So it's like straight up. So you have a chaf and a vav is 26, is a numerical value of Hashem in your Lamed. You can do that with every letter, by the way, in the alphabet, of the Hebrew alphabet, how it equals up. It's either chaf vav or yud yud vav will equal up to 26.
Yeah.
So every single letter. But then you have the letter Lamed itself. When you say the word Lamed, which is what represents the letter Lamed, you're saying a Lamed, a Mem, and a Dalet. Okay, so contained in the Lamed is a Lamed, a Mem, and a Dalet. And contained in that is a Lamed, a Mem, and a Dalet, a Mem, and a final Mem, and a Dalet, a Lamed, and a Tuf, or a Dalet, a Lamed, and a Dalet. Okay, and contained in that would be keep on going.
Right.
Okay, ad infinitum, which is the way in which Hashem created the world.
Right.
So when we look at the world, it says that the Torah is the blueprint of creation.
It's not difficult.
Because, not so easy for me, but when you look at it, you can, if you knew what you were looking at, you would see it says that Hashem, the Zohar states, that Hashem looked in the world and created the Torah, and Tzaddikim look in the Torah and keep the world going. Okay? Yeah.
Say that again.
Hashem looked in the Torah to create the world.
Thank you, because you said it
opposite. Hashem looked in the world to create the Torah, right?
Yeah.
Hashem looked in the Torah to create the world.
Thank you.
And the Tzaddikim look in the Torah to keep the world going.
Right. Thank you.
Okay, they're both looking at the same blueprint, you
might
say.
Yes.
Okay, and then you have the architect.
One's a designer,
the contractors, right. The guys that are builders. We're the builders. Okay, we're supposed to keep the world going. By what? By looking at the Torah.
Right.
Shuhu hayudu avahu hamad. As we said before, that what is the Torah? The Torah is an expression of Hashem. And the wisdom which is conveyed by the Torah is Hashem. And the ability to understand that is Hashem.
It's Hashem, right.
And hence the Rambam says that Hashem is the knowledge knower and known.
Right.
We explained this before in chapter 2 and chapter 4.
Right. Is there a text that directly states or alludes to that statement, that Hashem of the Torah one? Is there a text?
Yeah, that's in the Zohar. The Reis L'Kutcha Brichu Kul Echad.
Right. Okay. Is there a text in the Chumash that we're aware of?
Is it taken anywhere from the Torah?
Torah proper.
Well, it would have to be somewhere alluded to it, otherwise.
Right. Of course. Obviously.
Shem Bar Yochai wouldn't have said it.
Of course.
I'm not sure.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's what he says. Zeh Asikash of the Reis L'Kutcha Brichu Kul Echad. This is what it says, that the Torah and the Holy One, blessed be He, are all one. V'lay evarim de malka lechud, and not just limbs of the king. Kipikidim, as are the commandments. Okay, so when it is that you're doing a mitzvah, this is now we have this whole question: which is greater, the Torah or the mitzvahs? And we'll talk about this. When a person is doing a mitzvah, so they are united with.
I know you could separate them. I mean, I guess you.
Yeah, because we'll say what I'm going to say.
Okay.
The mitzvahs are, when a person does a mitzvah, they become the will of Hashem.
Okay.
Okay. When a person is learning Torah, for example, they become one with Hashem, His will and wisdom. As he said back in chapter 5, that when a person
learns... Not the same unity.
It's a different type of unity. You said right. Back in chapter 5 that when a person does a mitzvah, so they become united with Hashem. Their will becomes nullified to the will of Hashem. But when a person learns and understands Torah, so the mitzvahs are all done in external as external expressions of the body. Mm-hmm. The Torah is internalized.
Okay.
And so in that internalizing, the person's intellect now also becomes connected, united, nullified to Hashem.
Okay.
Okay.
So which one are you saying conveys a greater unity? Or is it not greater, it's just one?
It's unit. Different.
Just a question of different.
It's different.
Uh-huh. It's like apples and bagels.
Yeah.
Okay.
And since it is now that when this person becomes united with the infiniteness of Hashem in an ultimate unity, so that expression of godliness now becomes totally revealed and it's not concealed at all within the godly soul. So that every time you learn Torah, and every time you do a mitzvah, your neshama is going, mm-hmm. Okay? It's vitamin J, you might say. For Judaism. Yes.
Anyway.
For Judaism.
Thank you.
So that... Your soul does appreciate. Your soul isn't. Your soul is not. Your soul is an infinite entity. It's stuffed in a finite body. Okay.
Right.
And what you perceive is only in can be only perceived in three dimensions. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that your neshama doesn't feel things that are beyond the third dimension. Your neshama, which is dimensionless, still can now still feel, even though it's enclosed in the body, still feel this dimensionless when a person is doing a mitzvah. And we see this, an example of this is with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Hashem comes to Daniel and starts prophesizing. Right. Okay, this is where he winds up face down in the mud, the whole business over there.
Okay.
Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were standing right next to him.
Right, okay.
And as soon as he started prophesizing, they ran away.
Okay.
Nice guys. Here's their friend writhing in the
right.
mud.
Right.
You know, some kind of epileptic shock fit, who knows, whatever. Right. He's eating dirt.
Yes.
And they take off.
Yep.
Okay? So he comes up now out of this state, and he brushes himself off, spits the dirt out of his teeth, and goes and looks for his friends. Remember, he's only 18 years old, and they're 17 years old. Okay? And he says, what'd you guys run away for? Why'd you run away? So did you see something? They said, no, we didn't see anything. So the Gemara asked the question, well, why did they run away then? If they didn't see anything, why did they get scared? They said, we were scared, we ran away. What were they afraid of? They didn't see anything. Fear of the unknown. No. The Gemara answers, Afal pi d'lo chazi mazlayu chazi.
Cognizance.
They didn't see it. But their quote-unquote mazel saw it. Mazel refers to that part of the neshama which is not limited by the body. The ratzon of Hashem. We've done that experiment where I sit next to you close by.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, there's a great part of your neshama, the better part of your neshama is not enclosed in your body. Only that part which relates to thought, speech, and action is enclosed in your body. Your survival instincts, your will for preservation, and everything else in that category is outside of your body. Whether it be in close proximity or a further proximity, it's outside of the body. And once now you get outside, okay, it has a connection to the body, but once you start losing parameters of body, so how big could it be? Keep going.
No dimensions.
It's not dimensional. Okay? So therefore we say that the like with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that their mazel, their neshama, which is outside of their body, experienced that which Daniel was experiencing inside his body.
Inside his body.
Okay.
Okay, because the prophecy was directed to him.
Right.
But they picked up on the energy. They picked up on the vibes.
Exus stayed left.
And took off, exactly. Like his illusion panima. Shehema Makshava Divir Voice is shot. Okay. Bekol Evajra Lakiz Lavushah Lapinim. She the inner garments, Shehem. Makshaba Dibor Makshafta of Dibora Boiser Shah, Shah Adam Isaac Bedivre Tera. That what are the inner garments? We said are the it's her thoughts and her speech, meaning the godly soul at the time that the person is occupied in the words of Torah. Harigam hanefesh v'luvusheha elu miyuchadim mamish be'einsav baruchu b'oisav shah. So what happens is, as we said before, that also the soul and its and these garments are absolutely united with the infiniteness of Hashem at that time. B'tachlis hayichud keyichud diboru makshavta shel kodesh baruchu b'mahusav atzmusav kenal. In a similar vein to the thought and speech of Hashem before he utters it. Or as you can imagine, using us as a paradigm, you're about to say something. The words have been formulated, you know exactly what you're going to say, you know how you're going to say it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's there. But you haven't said it yet. Those words are united with you in an ultimate unity. The words are there, but they don't have an entity separate for them in and of themselves.
Right.
You're just about to say it. Okay? Before you say those words,
right.
They have no existence. They're not words.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something there because you're just about to say it.
Right.
So now, this person who's doing the mitzvahs, at that time, he's united with Hashem, with Hashem's speech, with Hashem's thought, if he's thinking, his thought and speech with the Mahusav Atzmusav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem's very essence and being.
Hmm.
Okay, so as far as, I mean, it does say in the Mishnah, we say it every day, V'talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, the study of Torah was equal to all the other mitzvahs.
Hmm.
Because other mitzvahs, and he said this before, other mitzvahs are expecting in an external makif tikkaway. And the Torah is clothed within the person talking, the person thinking. Ki ein shum davar nifrad, ki im behester panim kanal. Nothing is actually separate from Hashem because it's an impossibility.
Right.
Nothing can displace God.
Right.
The only thing is that it's allowed to cover over revelation. Which for us is a good thing. Because would it be that we were able to see godliness, we'd cease to exist. As Fitzy Lipsker once explained to him, I said, why can't we see Kalim of Atzilus in this world? I want to see some Chesed of Atzilus.
Mm.
And he said, well, quite simply, then you would be in Chesed of Atzilus. You wouldn't be in this world anymore. Because that's what defines the world that we're in. We are in the world of Asiya Gashmi, the physical world, because the things around us have three dimensions.
Right.
As soon as we get out of that third dimension,
right.
Then we're not in the physical world of action anymore.
Right.
We've been bumped out.
Right.
So Isaac's just sticking around.
Exit stage left.
And furthermore, she yichudim hu b'yeser seis v'yeser ois mi yichud orin seik baruch hu ba'olam asel yoyim. When we do a mitzvah, we are more united with Hashem than the world of Atzilus. Why?
Yeah.
Because what's the purpose of the world of Atzilus?
It's a revelation. It's a degradation.
What's its purpose? Don't tell me what it is. What's its purpose? You're right.
To reveal godliness. Reveal godliness on that level.
Okay. For what purpose?
To bring it down to our level.
Correct. So therefore, as you said, it's a degradation.
Right.
Okay? It doesn't exist for itself.
Right.
The only reason why the world of Atzilus exists is so that we should be able to benefit from godliness.
Correct.
Okay? So now that you tell me that, the world of Atzilus is totally united with Hashem, we have a good buzz expression for it, Ihu v'chayehu chad, Ihu v'garmehu chad, that were talked about in Simon Chof and Agaris HaKodesh, where that talks about it at great length, that Hashem and his life is one, and Hashem and his conveyances are one. Okay? Good. That's in the world of Atzilus. But for Hashem, that's called an embarrassment. Because how much godliness is there in Atzilus compared to God? Very, very little.
Yeah.
Whereas what do we have here in this world? We have no revelation whatsoever.
Right.
No one can ever say, you know what? I saw Hashem. You can't do that. Okay? You can say, I appreciate godliness is about the best that we can do. When you're looking at those purple mountains, majesties above the fruited plain, you go, wow, Hashem is great.
Appreciate the expression of godliness.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
And we can be wowed by Hashkacha Pratis.
Yes.
Okay, all the divine providence happening back and forth the course of a whole day.
Right.
Okay, so because we don't have any great revelation of a God, therefore, Hashem's essence can be conveyed here. Because this is the whole purpose of the creations right here, this physical world. This world is where Hashem wants to be. Taking it from the adage, it's attributed to the Baal Shem Tov, and it may come that he got it from someplace else. Which states, where a person wants to be, that's where they are. And there's another version, that's where they are in their entirety.
Hmm.
So Hashem, what does Hashem want? Hashem ratz lo yizbarak debetachtenim. Hashem wants a dwelling place down here in this world.
Hmm.
Let's talk about in chapter 33.
Hmm.
Okay? So where does Hashem want to be?
Here.
So where is Hashem?
Here.
How much of Hashem?
Only all of it.
All of it. In Hashem's entirety.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay? So what's happening? We're walking around in the dark. Totally. Totally and completely obscured.
An utter darkness.
Total obfuscation.
Yes, yes.
Okay? You want to get out of the dark?
Do a mitzvah.
Do mitzvahs.
Right.
Learn Torah.
Right.
Become united with the will and wisdom of Hashem, which is where? Right here.
Right.
Since it is that the will of Hashem is in a revealed state in a person's soul and its garments when he's occupying in Torah. Shahari hu hu hatera atzmei. And the person himself becomes the Torah. Okay, when you're sitting.
So the will of Hashem is never expressed anywhere except here.
Oh yeah, right. Hashem doesn't want the world of Atzilus.
Right.
Hashem did not make a whole creation.
It's simply a pipeline.
Right. It's part of the.
In essence.
Right. Hashem decided. Listen, I want to make a physical world. I'm going to have a whole Seder Istalshelus. I'm going to need this. I'm going to need that. You know.
I've got to have a transmission and a drive shaft to get to the rear wheels.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, and you don't really care about that. What you really care about is turning the car on and going.
Correct.
You don't care what's happening with
the rest of the pistons.
And the hood and the throttle and the linkage and et cetera, the axles. You don't care about any of that.
Just moving is
there. You care about that when you turn the key.
Am I moving?
The car goes.
Right.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now. Do you want a car that's got a proper electronic ignition system? Yes. Are the rack and pinions where they're supposed to be? Oh, absolutely you want. Do you want those drum brakes to be able to stop when you want it to stop? Absolutely. But you're not thinking about any of that when you're driving a car.
Couldn't
you want to
care
get
less.
You're not even thinking about the driving. You're thinking, I want to get from point A to point B.
Right.
So more likely than not, unless you're some kind of a driving fan, more likely than not, you're not even thinking about the car that you're driving. You're thinking about, I have to get to this, my
point
next destination,
right.
my point B.
Right.
Okay? So that's what this world now becomes for Hashem. It becomes the drive parts, per se.
The moving.
Yes. And we are the ones, it says that by learning it, we unite ourselves with the Torah itself, with the wisdom of Hashem. And the whole entire spectrum of creation receives their vitality from the light and life which is drawn from the Torah. Okay, in other words, so Torah is going to happen regardless. Torah is going to happen, and the effects of the Torah in the world are going to happen. we have to bring it out in a revealed way. When Hashem, 3,300 years ago, gave the Torah to the Jewish people, so the effect of Matan Torah is continuing till this day. It's still going on. It's an ongoing expression, ongoing experience. Okay. We, by us doing what it says in the Torah, are revealing that revelation of Hashem. Shehi Ritzayin v'chachmasa yisbarak the Torah is the will and wisdom of Hashem. Kidiksiv kulam v'chachmasisa. The first word on the line is Yud Saf, and in the English is, I don't even know what it is in English, it's on page 97. Towards the bottom of the first column. Mm-hmm. As it says, Kulam b'chachma asisas, it says, you made everything with wisdom. In kein ha-chachma, shehi ha-tera l'mayla mekulam, v'hi hi rasani is baruch ha-nikra sevi kolam. So that be the case, then, the ha-chachma, of the Torah, which is the Torah, which is the highest of all the spheres, and the Torah is the will of Hashem, and it's called the will of Hashem, since it is encompassing. Encompassing doesn't mean surrounding, not big circles. Encompassing means that it is too great a revelation to be contained within the worlds. That's how he defines Sovev, is that it's not able to be contained within the world. It does have an effect. Yeah, don't think circles when you're thinking Soviv and Makiv. Encompassing light doesn't mean it's surrounding you.
It's impossible to be contained, is
what it means. Yes, you have the Orma Mali, which is contained.
Right.
And then you have the Ora Soviv, which is still there enlivening, bringing into existence, but it's too great to be contained and revealed.
Oh, I see.
That's the definition of Makiv.
That's so.
Vehihi mislaveshes benefesh ulavusheha bevachinas giloi mamesh kishoesim b'teira. And this divine revelation, this Makiv, is what is in charging up the soul when a person learns Torah. Why does a person feel better when they're learning Torah? Is because they're drawing down this higher level of godliness, which cannot be revealed in a revealed way in their soul.
Mm-hmm. They're attaching to the source.
So there is, you might say, this sounds like a bit of an oxymoron, a physical spiritual benefit.
Correct. Yes.
To the Torah.
Right.
You can feel physically when a person is sitting and learning the benefit of the Torah. And even though you don't see it, that's the verse which was quoted by Hanani Mishael and Azariah. Mm. And because you don't see it, you're able to withstand it more, which is not the case in the higher worlds. Okay? If I suddenly turned on 50,000 watts of electricity in this room, what would you see?
Nothing.
Okay? You'd be blinded by it.
Correct.
Even. Okay?
Exactly.
But if you put shades over your eyes,
things would become...
You would be able to see...
Yeah, infinitely more detail.
You would be able to see them.
Right.
But you're putting a cover over.
Right.
But the cover is allowing the revelation.
Correct.
And that's what's happening in this world.
Right.
This world is acting as a cover to allow revelation.
Right.
That's the whole point of Shar Yechid V'Amunah, which will come up. U'b'zeh Yuven... Should we run through it, or should we stop here?
Let's stop.
We'll stop here at Ubezeh. We will stop then at the line ending. Ubezeh Yuven Lama Gedoyla Ma'ei, about 8 lines from the bottom.
Yeah, I don't want to run through it.
Don't want to run through it. It's okay.